A little bit of a different direction this week, trying to understand the concept of something in this week's parsha. See, I had a Rebbe in Beis Yisrael, but he was only there for 2 years when I was there. After that, he left and went to the Mir Yeshiva. His name is Rabbi Achmiel Chosid. Still is, I believe, still teaching at the Mir Yeshiva. He used to always give the same shmooze on Parshas Beshalach. And Parshas Beshalach was specifically all about the money. So he used to say the following. He said, what was the biggest nace of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the biggest miracle that a Kaddish Baruch Hu gave? It was the money. Why the money over anything else? So there's a bunch of reasons. I have 9 reasons that I put down over here. Number one, it came every single day straight without missing a day. There was not a day, obviously, except for Shabbos. There was not a day that missed from Sunday through Friday without anything. It came. Number two, it was Mefarnes all the Jews, any Jew that was there. Not only that, there's big machlokas in what the animals ate, whether the animals were able to eat the mun or how exactly the mun went afterward. But it seems that the animals, the people, everyone around was Mefarnes from the mun itself. Number three, they always got an omer, no matter how much they ended up taking in. They took in a ton or they took in a little bit. Nonetheless, there was an omer that came to them, and that's how much they ended up eating. Number four, they got lechem mishnah on Friday, so that not only did they get the normal amount, but the double amounts came to them on Friday, so they'd have enough. And number five, none of it fell on Shabbos. I mean, none of it came over. Number six, if you left it over, you immediately saw reactions. It became wormy if you left it overnight, but if you left it over Shabbos, then it became perfect, obviously. Number seven, the tzaddikim got the mon right at the door. The rishayim got it farther away from the house. The Beninim would get it somewhere in between. So you could tell how good you were in the eyes of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so to speak. Just where the mun landed somewhere near. Number eight, it satisfied everyone. Big or small, no matter how big of a person or how small of a person, how young or how old, it didn't make a difference. It satisfied you, and once you ate it, it was right there. And obviously, the fact that it came from Shemayim is something that I didn't even need to mention. The fact that there was some food that came down from Shemayim, that there was something that... It's just an unbelievable concept. But the interesting part behind the mun, and Reb Moshe speaks about this a little bit. Reb Moshe speaks about this in 5 different places in his Drush Moshe on the Torah. It says that in order to eat the mun, or in order to get it, so to speak, you have to be hungry first. In other words, the mun didn't come to them before Bnei Yisrael complained about being hungry. It came to them when they complained. Reb Moshe says it all over, that had Bnei Yisrael never complained about the mun, had they not asked for any food or drink or anything like that, they would have been fine. They would have survived. There would have been no issues. They would have been there without food and without drink for years on end. And they would have survived, and they would have been fine, and health-wise, they would have been perfectly fine. It's just that they asked for it. When they said, where's our mud? Where's our water? That's when they were punished in that they needed to eat something. They needed to drink something. The riot of that is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu for 40 days and 40 nights didn't ask for anything. Didn't ask for food. Didn't ask for water. Didn't ask for anything. But in the Mela, he got what he needed to survive. And he was fine. It's not like he came down from our scene after 40 days and 40 nights and he was a skinny little nothing who was fasting for the last 40 days. That's not what he was like. He had everything that he could have that he needed during those 40 days and 40 nights in Shemayim, to the point where he just didn't have to ask for it. It came to him on its own. It's not like he ate anything. It was just there. It was automatically there. So the question is, why does it have to be that way? Why does it have to be that we have to complain first in order to get the mun? What's that process, and what does that mean for us? And the Medrash tells us that Yirmiyahu asked Bnei Yisrael, and he said to them, why not be Osek and Torah? Why aren't you guys learning more than you already are? What's the problem with being Osek and Torah? And they said to him, where will we get our bread? How are we going to get our parnasa? How are we going to go to work? What are we going to do about parnasa? Which is a legitimate complaint. And he showed them the mun. I don't know how Yirmiyahu would have had it since Senat Haman. Yirmiyahu would have been, I guess, during the times before Yoshia was Goni as the mun. But Yirmiyahu somehow showed it to them, was able to show them something that was there, and said, if you can see the mun, then you can go ahead and learn. And they said to him, we have no mun today. If we have no mun today, there's nothing we can do. And Yirmiyahu told them that that was a major mistake. The major mistake was that you think that it was only Dor HaMidbar that received the mun. You think that if there's no mun in front of you, you don't have a chance of getting anything for yourself. But it's not true. See, every year, it doesn't happen as much anymore because there's so many other things going on. We're paying the farmers. But Shemitah was a massive miracle every 7 years. You had to stop farming. You couldn't work that year. And there was nothing out there. And when Basden was in charge, when Basden were the people in charge of it, no one could work. And there was no Oats or Basden, so to speak. There was no official group that was paying people to stop working to make sure that they didn't work during that year. So what do you do during that year? What did the farmers all do? They went into colo. They didn't get paid. They saved up their money every year up until the seventh year and made sure that they had it. And if they didn't have enough money, Kirschbaum provided. There was something taken care of. It happens. So we have to start understanding, and this has to be ingrained in our heads, that work, as great as it is only in this world because of our avers. With the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread, is a curse given to Adam Rishon after the chait. There was no such concept before the chait. Before the chait, there was shmira of the garden, guarding the garden. From what? The garden was already grown. There was nothing to worry about. What we are guarding the garden for? It was a work that had nothing to it. The work that came afterward was something that was a curse that we have to do b'zeyas hapecha, that we have to put our ishtadlus inside. See, there was still ishtadlus by the mud, but it's a different type of ishtadlus. You walked outside and you went to go get the mud, depending on how far away it was from your house, and that's that. If we really think about it, animals obviously don't work. And if animals are given their parnasa, kal vachomer, we should think to ourselves that we shouldn't be amo over our parnasa. And that's really a gemara. But we know there's an aveira of Adam Rishon. And the aveira of Adam Rishon allows it to be that it's not going to be that way. We can't let ourselves starve to death, and we need to put more in than we actually have. But this is how we got to start looking at ourselves, and we got to start thinking the following way. There's a Rambam. Now granted, there's a famous stira in Rambams that are mentioned throughout, and there's Rambams all over the place. There's Rav Yaakov Emden that tries to explain, there's a massive Magid Mishnah, there's a huge, huge Kesef Mishnah on this as well. It's a hard little concept. But it says, in Hilchos Shmitzos V'Yoblos, it says, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis, V'lama lo zapa Levi Menachos Eretz Yisrael. Why wasn't Shevet Levi Zocha, the Nachal of Eretz Yisrael, and inheriting Eretz Yisrael? Would be Zocha Yimachov, and as well as all the spoils together with his brothers. He was separated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'shor, so and to take care of him, L'horos Drach of Yisharim, and to teach him the proper ways, U'mishpatav HaTzadikim L'rabim, and his good mishpatim to all the people. That's what he was there for. He was there to be a teacher, Levi. Shevet Levi was there to be teachers for everybody else. Namar Yoru Mishpatech L'Yakov V'Soros L'Yisrael. Teacher Mishpatim L'Yakov and Yerchor Ribbenei Yisrael. L'fika Chuvdu L'Nidar Ke'olam. Therefore they were separated from the ways of the world in order not to work. Lo Orchen Mokam HaKashar Yisrael. They don't wage war the rest Bnei Yisrael does. Lo Noklin. They don't inherit land in Eretz Yisrael. V'lo Zokam Atzim of a Koach Gufan. They're not Zokha in themselves with any Koach of their Guf. Elohim Chayel Hashem. They are known as the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnamar Berech Hashem Chayelo. Hashem should bless His army. V'u Baruch Hu Zika Lahem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mezakeh to them. Shnamar Nichol Kiachem Anachol Asecha. I am your Chaylik. I am your Nachol. Now clearly, because of that, Shevet Levi was taken aside and put aside. We were told to take the rest of Bnei Yisrael, to take certain portions off of our food, to give them truma, that goes to a kohen, Maaser Rishon, and to give them even Maaser Ani if they need. That's clearly there, and that has to be there. But then comes the next part of the Rambam. Halacha Yud Gimel says, Velo Shevet Levi Bilvav. The famous Rambam says, it's not only Shevet Levi. Ela kol ish v'ish mikol bo ya'olam. Every Jew from all parts of the world, Asher Nad Baruch Hu Oso, that has this generosity, this generous spirit within him, Ve'ivinu Mado Lahav Bilamud with Hashem, and he understands his makeup, what he's comprised of, and he separates himself to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'shorso Ula Avdo, to serve him and to work for him, L'deyas Hashem, to know God, V'alach Yashar K'moshatel Elohim, and to do the right thing like HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him to do. Uparak me'al tevro ol ha'chashbonos ha'rabim asher bikshu b'nei adam. And he takes off of his shoulders the calculations, the different things that people need to do in order to live in this world. How is in his Kaddish Kodesh Kadosh. Such a person that does this in truth is niskadish, he's sanctified with the Kodesh Kedoshim. Via Hashem Chelko, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be his chelik as well. V'nachlaso in his inheritance, l'olam l'olam l'olamim, forever and ever. And here's the line. V'yizke lo ba'olam hazeh, davar amaspik lo. He'll give him in this world something that's good enough for him, something that he needs in order to survive. Kamo shezika l'kohanim v'levim. In order, the same way that the kohanim v'levim get things. It's not going to be as much as normal other people get, the people that are working, but there will be a chelik given over to such a person that donates his time and says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm working for you now. I'm doing everything for you. Hare David Omer Hashem min Aschok. He said, David Amel, Hashem is my portion, the kosi and my cup. Ata tomis gorili. You're the one who gives me everything that I have. What an unbelievable line that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of such a person. See, here's the line, and here's what you have to understand from this Rambam. This is mine, my addition to what my Rebbe told me, but I think it's a true addition. If you look at the Rambam says the whole way through, the Levim get, they're going to get, a Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of them, Zika Lahem is Mezaka for them. In other words, it's not just that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives to them, but rather Zika Lahem, he allows the schutz to go to them of Trumos, Maestros, whatever they need in order to survive. When it says Bnei Yisrael, Yizkelo bi'olam hazeh, that he's going to be mezakeh them in this world, davar hamaspik lo, kamo shezika l'kohanim v'levim, it means something different. It's not just meiser ani. He's giving them something for them to have, more than what the kohanim v'levim have. And look at the raya. Hare David Omar, David HaMelech said, Hashem menas chelki v'kosi atah tomich gorili. Now think about that for a second. David HaMelech, that's the worst raya you could possibly come up with. David HaMelech was taken care of his entire life. His entire life. Granted, when he was running away, a little bit different, but let's think. David HaMelech was a shepherd for his father, working for his father up until the age of 30. That's what we know. We know that from everything that he did up until that point, and that's when he wrote to Hillel. It's possible this line wasn't written then. But after that, he became king. Now, granted, he was running away from Shaul HaMelech for a little bit, and there were times where he was starving with Bulmus when he came to Achimelech, the king of Nov. There were times where he didn't know what he was doing, like when he was by the Zephim, or by the land of Moab. There were times where he had no idea what to do or what he was going to do. Granted, that's 100% true. But for most of the time, David was taken care of. David was the king of Klal Yisrael. David had more riches than we could ever imagine. He donated so much to the Beis HaMikdash, so much of his stuff. He's the person who's saying, Hashem tomich gorili, I've given myself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me back. What did David HaMelech give up? What did David HaMelech do? So the answer is that even David HaMelech gave up what he could have been. There was something that David could have done more so. He could have worked harder and made more money, gotten more shalal. But he refused because he wanted to learn more. So all the time that he could have spent, that he could have been doing, making more and more and more money, and making more, when it comes to a king, of course you want more. Nobody is free from that type of a type of Yarbalo Katzef. Everybody wants more and more. But David HaMelech gave up of himself, lost himself. He said, I'm willing to lose that time where I was going to work for myself and make money and do everything, and I'm going to donate that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Baruch Hashem Chelo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him riches even during the time when he was sitting and learning, where he was willing to give up those riches. Even then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him not only everything he needed, more than what he needed. And that's the raya. Meaning, there's a raya from even a person who's already at work who's willing to give himself up, willing to give something up. It doesn't mean that you have to just automatically give up everything. It doesn't have to mean that way. It means a person could do this and that, but when it says donate your time, it means literally donate your time. Your Seder time is Seder time, whether you're working or you're not working, but you have that time that's automatically given over. But the Pashup Shot in the Rambam is not that way. That's not the Pashup Shot. The Pashup Shot in the Rambam is that if a person decides he's going to go into Kolo, a person decides he's going to learn straight, that he's going to give everything he has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him everything he needs. See, by the mun and by the water, you ask for it, you'll get it. You ask for the mun, you ask for food, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you food. If you ask for water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you water. If you don't ask for it, if a guy goes in and says, and this is the thought process, I'm going to go in and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me, and he means it. He's not sitting there and saying, and if I really need money, I'll just go collect it. He says, no, I am going to be taken care of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me, he'll do everything I need.
If a person goes into it thinking that way,
he'll get his parnasa. He'll get his parnasa. The parnasa will be there for him.
How? What's he going to do? What?
That's solid questions. Solid questions to ask.
But a Kaddish Baruch Hu will take care of him.
This is a scary concept. It's a scary concept that we've said only great tzaddikim, great, great men, and the biggest fools are able to accomplish. It's one of the two. Because either you're an unbelievable tzaddik with an unbelievable level of itachon, or you're a massive fool that just fooled himself into thinking that God will take care of everything and I won't do anything at all. Sometimes you can tell the difference between the two. When there's a person who's extremely lazy, that's just a fool. When a person is working so hard, you can see beads of sweat on his forehead, even in weather like there is outside on a day like today. When you see him working so hard that there's sweat, he's sweating over the Gemara. Then already you see that this person is mamash putting himself into it. He's really doing what he's supposed to be doing. See, a lot of you have complained to me about the heat in this space medrash. I have yet to see a person sweat, literally sweat, in this space medrash. I haven't seen it yet. A person sweating where his hair turns a little bit glistening, where there's a little bit of bead of sweat going down his forehead. If you're really that hot and you're learning, you'd be sweating. Otherwise, you're just not. It's just the Yetzer Hara getting you all over again, telling you it's too hot in here, you got to learn somewhere else. Go learn somewhere else. Come on. That is what you're supposed to do, to sweat over this type. See, who'd have thought that anybody here would be thinking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 30 degree weather? Like when there's actual 30 degrees outside, you wake up and you're just like, oh my gosh, Baruch Hashem, it's 30 degrees. Then when it's not negative 13 degrees outside, who'd have thought you should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making yeshiva here in Skokie Yeshiva rather than northern Wisconsin? It's not a thought process, but like, what would be if we were in northern Wisconsin right now? I mean, things have been decided for us without our involvement whatsoever. Without our involvement, we didn't do anything. And sometimes when we get into these types of things within our jobs or what we're going to do with the rest of our lives, we have to start thinking to ourselves that it's not really so much up to us. That life has somewhat been decided already for us. Either because of our temperament, or because of our mindsets, because of where we come from, or simply put, from the way the world is going. How many people here want to be a lawyer, aside from one? But if I would ask that question to a bunch of Jews 10 years ago, you'd have 12 hands risen in the air. Things have gone differently over the past couple of years. Can you imagine somebody wanted to go into computer science 25 years ago? Maybe 25 years ago is still a little bit within. 35 years ago? 40 years ago? It's just different. But people want to be these types of things now. The job market has changed, and it continually changes. That even if you want to go into something, you might not be able to. It might not be available for you years down the line. You want to be a doctor, but down the line, going to medical school may not be worth the amount that certain types of medical care will be able to give you. It won't be worth putting in $250,000 into your medical school expenses if you're going to come out with a job that's only going to pay you $80 a year. See, these things are somewhat already decided and they're around you. This is not society deciding that. It's a Kaddish Baruch Hu getting involved. And I know that we like the thought process of, I'm going to make the decision, and I know what's good for me, and I know that this job is the best job for me. I hear that. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make the decision. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 100% behind everything we do. Behind everything we do. We have to do ishtaglos. That's without a question. And everybody's here in yeshiva while going to a college, at the same time getting the information that will help you for the rest of your lives. But you still have to go into it with the mindset that I'm not the only one involved here. I have to ask for siyata d'shmaya. I have to dive into a Kaddish Baruch Hu to give me the right decisions. That when it boils down to it, I'm not just making a decision on my own. And I know that I'm not just making the decision on my own. I honestly realize and I honestly feel it. And I don't mean just saying with lip service. I mean feel it in the heart that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is helping me every step of the way. Or a Kaddish Baruch Hu is stopping me from doing certain things every step of the way. I have to really believe that. And if I really believe that,
gotten in my tefillah would no longer be a sad, pathetic tefillah. It would be an honest tefillah, where when I got to Baruch Aleinu, I would honestly say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Aleinu Asher Shana Azos, V'tovo L'Bracha. Because if I honestly believed that everything in this world stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not the fact that I'm here, it's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be here right now, that's where I'm getting my parnasa and my check from, then you have it.
Nobody here has been a cab driver that I know of. I would love to try being a cab driver. A cab driver that doesn't work for a service that calls you in or gets you to go someplace or whatever it is. Just, you look for people on the street. Do you know what siyata d'shmaya you would see from such a thing? Do you realize that you have no idea how you're going to pay your bills at the end of the month? So you go into it and you just say, There. And all of a sudden you see the dots connecting where HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in the right place at the right time. See, if you really wanted to put your hands, your whole life in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, all you'd have to be is just a cab driver. I'm not asking you to be a cab driver. I'm just saying, it's a concept to think that it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dumb luck, so to speak. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it in your hands. But the problem is when you become an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor, or an actuary, all the other Jewish professions that there are out there in the world, you think, I'm getting paid, and that's it. That's it. I'm getting paid, and I mean, what do you mean, why am I doing what I'm doing? I'm getting paid because I prepared myself. I went through high school. I finished my SATs, my ACTs. I got into college, worked on my graduate school degree, ended up doing what I was supposed to do, and then in the end, I got a great job because I interview well, and then because of that, I make the money that I'm making. That can never be your thought process. Your thought process has to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed me. If it is, then that's just pure, pure gaiva speaking out from you. And there's so much more to do over here. See, if you're a good interviewer, you got to think that that's from Hashem. You have a great resume, you got to think that that's from Hashem. If you're a good-looking guy with a clear way of speaking, you got to think that's from Hashem. You have a relative that's in the business that got you the job, that's from Hashem. You have startup money that you somehow got, it's also from Hashem. You married into a wealthy family that gave you a job straight, it's from Hashem. You found a great deal online or something that you can deal with, it's also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You met someone who knows someone who used to do this with someone, and therefore, it's also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If your thought process is that everything is helping from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your motim is different every single day. Your motim is different every single davening. Your Baruch Aleinu is different without a question. Your Refa'inu is different because you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that happens. Because thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for allowing me to be healthy, to be able to do what I need to do today. And every day. Because it's different. You found a different way of looking at everything. I don't want to say I'm nothing without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I don't really mean it just yet. I'm not there yet, and I'm still working on this level. But to think that I really am, I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I can't make the right decisions, and I can't say the right things, and I can't do the right things without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means to be Okhlei Hamon. That's what it means. You have to ask. We're not on the level to get it automatically. We're not Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai getting everything for free for 40 days and 40 nights and everything being there. You have to ask. Fine. So ask. Lo nitna Torah ela lo Okhlei Hamon is a simple line in Gemara. Lo nitna Torah ela lo Okhlei Hamon. The Torah was only given to those who eat the man. What does that mean? It means those who have amuna and bitachon, that every day they look up to Shemayim and they say, my food is coming from there. From there. That's where my food is coming from. It's coming from right up there in Shemayim. It's not coming from down here. It's not coming from my business. It's not coming from all of my skills and everything that I have and everything that I do. My food, my money, everything I have is coming from right up there. When you start believing that, things get a lot easier. Not only your tefillah, not only your learning, because you realize what you're doing it for. Your whole life changes from that. You see a pattern forming from what we're trying to say over here? Just that small little pattern over here. Be Okhlei Hamon. Always look up, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what bracha you make on the month? It's machlokas. It's a six-way machlokas. The Ramami Pano, Tenis Makobo brings down, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShamayim. That made you think, Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShamayim. But the line from the Chasam Sofer is so much stronger, and we'll conclude with this. Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShamayim is one thing.
How about a Motzi Lecha Min Ha'aretz? Who was the first guy to look down at a stalk of wheat that was coming from the ground and thought to himself, I wonder what happens when I crush this, mix this with water and a little bit of mold, bake it in an oven, and come out with a big thing of bread? Who thought that? Who did that? What, you think a Motzi Lecha Min Ha'Shamayim is a big miracle? Why is a Motzi Lecha Min Ha'aretz not a big miracle? How can you not think of Kadosh Baruch Hu just for that? Well, because you're so used to bread. You know, when Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, the first thing they did is they saw the bread being made and they said, it's the greatest miracle we've ever seen in our lives. They'd have been eating mum the entire time. They had never known what bread was. When they saw bread being baked for the first time, they were shocked. Shocked. Because they had no idea that could happen from that. From that stalk of wheat, you can make this? That's crazy. That's absolute crazy talk. Start thinking. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our daily lives, what He has to do with us. It's really everything. But start considering Him, start putting Him in, and He'll help you get stuff out. And that's the lesson that you learned from this week's Parsha. The Torah was only given to those who ate the month. Stop at that. Have a good week, everybody.